Alright, welcome back everybody to Xur's Treasure Hoard in Eternity in Destiny 2, where we will now be discussing the acquisition of Bungie by Sony for $3.6 million in Glimmer. Just to do a short introduction here, Funk, how did you move your camera? How did you achieve that? How did you manage to do that?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Where is my camera? Oh, you're welcome.
To do that.
Let's put it right in the center.
There you go.
And then move
That's
the
crazy.
Other one
All right.
to the screen.
So, from the top left of the screen, Funkbond is a regular part of the Rampancy crew. He's been with us playing Destiny and before that Halo. Next to him, on the right of your screen from Funkbond, is Claude Herrera, webmaster and founder of Bungie fansite Bungie.org, as well as several of its subsites, also known sometimes as Louis Wu. Next to the right is Jail, who's a current member of the Rampancy crew, who is playing Sabeel in our long-term playthrough of Divinity Original Sin 2. To the right of Jail is Blackstar, also co-founder of this channel and our website. Down the bottom left is Danny Perkins, also known as Maligate, also a longtime Bungie fan and denizen of the Halo.Bungie.org and Destiny.Bungie.org forums. Next to him is the self-proclaimed, Bungie-proclaimed, number one Bungie fan, Miguel Chavez, also known sometimes as Free Will. Do you still use that nickname anywhere, Meg?
It's my Xbox tag.
It's your Xbox gamer tag.
Yeah, he
hasn't changed that in forever.
I don't have an Xbox here anymore. And now nobody needs an Xbox because Sony owns Bungie.
It's my Bungie
tag. We're all going to need PlayStations.
Ah, okay.
Oh, man.
So maybe the first question is to ask, was everybody as surprised by this as me? Because although I may have had a random thought after Microsoft acquiring Activision, like, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if Sony did a thing and bought Bungie? And then, no, I just said, no, that's silly. Why would anybody think that?
I was surprised.
I thought you were joking. Like, I hadn't read the news before I got the email saying that, hey, we should talk about this. I had no idea. And I couldn't.
So you thought he was pulling your leg.
Why? They do one game. All they're doing is one game. Right?
But apparently.
They do seem to be talking about other stuff.
Long enough.
Yeah. I can't say that I was that surprised.
Really?
I think we're at a point. We're not really between console generations because nobody can get a console, right?
No, they can barely get vid cards, so no,
right?
Nobody's upgrading anything.
Right. So I think that there's a lot of, I mean, naturally, there's always a lot of moving parts, but I think that right now, it's a move that makes sense. Bungie's been working on something new that they haven't spoken about yet. Quite some time, and the one way that Sony can keep some of the competition down would be to buy them and basically tell Microsoft to stuff it, because then now they don't have to compete with the Xbox, you know, the installed user base.
Do you think their past relationship with Microsoft was a color to that decision making, or was it merely
I think that they're business opportunity. I still think that they're playing the exclusives game. I think it's just they can't say, you know, they can't dictate now which specific platforms, because Bungie may want to support something on mobile. Bungie may want to support something on, you know, just between with crossplay just between PC and PlayStation. But I felt like through all of the articles that I've read so far, reading between the lines, the one thing that they don't say is that future titles will be supported on Xbox platforms. So I think the fair assumption is things are going to be between PC and PlayStation for the most part.
They didn't explicitly say that. Let me cut over here. So I might as well just give a little bit of context here. We'll go through the opening part of the announcement here. In Sony Interactive Entertainment, we have found a partner who unconditionally supports us in all we are and who wants to accelerate our vision to create generation-spanning entertainment, all while preserving the creative independence that beats in Bungie's heart. Like us, Sony Interactive Entertainment believes that game worlds are only the beginning of what our IPs can become. Together, we share a dream of creating and fostering iconic franchises that unite friends around the world, families across generations, and fans across multiple platforms and entertainment mediums. And there's also a FAQ, and the FAQ does talk about cross-play and about cross-save and about platform exclusives. A lot of it, though, is you're right. There is potentially some wiggle room where they do talk about that Destiny is going to get full support on all the platforms it's on now, and that they're not even going to go back to doing exclusives like they did with Sony, and that they do have platform choice. I think it may have been separate that they tweeted about it, where somebody asked about future games being Sony exclusive, and they did say no. But I suppose you're right. Putting on PC could be a wiggle room for that.
I think that they're going to give you a choice. They're always going to give you a choice of platforms from which to choose where you play Bungie games. But it's not going to include Xbox. I think that's kind of that's what I expect to happen.
That does seem possible, because the FAQ says Bungie has future games in development. Will they now become PlayStation exclusive? They say no, but they don't say the only time they mention Microsoft platforms is specifically with Destiny. So who knows what the future entails? I think Mal spotted something there that I certainly didn't.
So does that mean the Mac platform is out too?
Okay, Claude, you don't think you don't buy that?
I don't buy that. First of all, Microsoft runs the major share of PC OSs these days. If you're going to cut Microsoft out, you're going to cut out PCs as well. I don't see any reason to stop making stuff for Xbox. I don't see how that benefits them.
I agree. I don't see how it would benefit Bungie to do that at all.
I don't see how it benefits Sony.
I mean, it's another exclusive. Most of Sony's first party developers, though, even when they're not owned by Sony, generally make titles where it's understood that they will be, if not timed, and sometimes permanent exclusivity on Sony's platform. You look at, for instance, FromSoft. FromSoft's not owned by Sony, but they make first-party titles like Bloodborne that are understood to be system sellers and that don't ever get ported. Some of their other stuff is, like, Dark Souls has PC ports and has Xbox ports, but Bloodborne could have been ported to PC or Xbox by now. It hasn't been. It's one of those games. And then they, of course, have, you know, true first-party, we own you now, studios like Naughty Dog. So, like, if you want to play Last of Us, it's Sony or nothing.
Yeah.
If that's the case, as end consumers, as all of us who are all gamers, we all play, we all have our own systems. A lot of us have been gravitating or changing over the years as far as what play on. If this does in fact happen, if they've decided at some point that they are going to have some exclusive titles or some future content that they're making is only going to be available on one, as a consumer, are you going to pick that? Are you going to follow where Bungie leads?
I'm not going to worry about it till it happens.
Well, I was on the fence on this last generation over the Xbox One, where I thought maybe it would be time to buy a Sony console to get access to some of the exclusives. And if that didn't mean having to give up playing Bungie's games, then why not do it? Because the only reason I had any kind of Xbox at all was to play a Bungie game, which was to play Halo. And even that anecdote that I think I've told several times on this channel was that, like, my plan to, you know, stab at the heart of Microsoft was to buy the Xbox to play Halo and then buy nothing else out of spite. I would just not buy any other games. And then I got the machine, and it's like, hey, this is actually kind of neat, you know, like what else is there? And, you know, and that's how I got into like Elder Scrolls, and I played a lot of MechWarrior and that stuff. And
well, the funny thing is, if you recall, the first Xbox you had to get, I actually had to get for you. I had to go to the mall. I had to pick one up because you hadn't come until Christmas. So I had actually bought it and had it for several months before you arrived at home. So, yeah, strangely enough, his first console I had to get. And ever since then, we've bought the Xbox, the 360, the
several 360s,
or whatever the latest one. Yeah, so we've bought many consoles. So the question now is, if this does become an exclusive environment where any future titles they do are PS only, do you guys feel like you're ready for those who don't have PS5s or 6s or potentially 7s to invest in that? Is that something that you'd want to do? Because I personally have only gone up to not even the Xbox One, but the Xbox One X or something just before it, the last gen, and haven't got one since. I'd actually gone specifically over to PC right before things changed for the whole card market. So yeah, sadly we got stuck at a certain thing where we can't even upgrade now. So going either way, where it's either hard or impossible to get consoles, and now it's hard or impossible to get video cards for PCs, we're kind of stuck for a couple of years as far as upgrading or what we're going to be gaming on. So is that also going to limit you for what you want to get in the future?
Okay. Mick, go ahead.
So I think I kind of like what Claude and Mal have been saying. Sony's not going to offer $3.6 billion to a company without there being some really solid reasoning behind it. I don't think of Bungie as a game developer for a platform. I now see them as like an engine for franchises. And I think they've proven that, as I think even now there were some numbers that just were released earlier this day, I think, saying like, oh, Destiny 2, that however many years old game, had like close to 1 million people playing just this day or something, you know, the Witch Queen coming out. So I think Sony is reading the tea leaves as to what Bungie can give them. And I think Bungie also presented themselves as a source for a long-term franchise. And my big thing, as I know Narc heard from me, is that it's all about the game that hasn't been announced or the games that haven't been announced. I get the feeling that there's some really, really big things coming down the pike that Bungie showed them. And like, just like Claude is saying, this is very similar to Roku, Apple TV, Amazon, where on my Roku, I can look at Apple TV. We're going beyond this whole exclusivity thing, and now it's just about getting your hands in as many pots as possible. And I think if Sony can buy someone that's a proven multi-console game maker, then they can just sit back and let them worry about making it work on PlayStation, Xbox, PC, and they just have to sit back and let subscriptions keep rolling in. And however they've tied it up and what they're going to be dipping into from from that, I think is what they're looking at. And I think that's what I think. I can't wait to see what this freaking game is that they're holding back, because to me, that game is what made Sony plunk down $3.6 billion. And it's got to be something so magnificent that it's going to be just mind blowing. So
it's a marathon reboot, right?
That was, yes. Well, fingers crossed.
Huge install base. Marathon players.
Still. China had invested in, because didn't Bungie get an infusion of cash or an investment from some
Tencent,
Chinese investors Tencent, for a title?
Yeah. NetEase.
Okay. So there was reporting this morning about an earnings call, a Sony earnings call, in which they said that they're expecting 10 live games from, not from Bungie, but that Bungie will consult on by 2026. That's a lot of games.
Consult.
It's not necessarily, you know, AAA titles. It could be mobile games. It could be anything, really. What they bought for $3.6 billion was expertise. I think what Meg was saying was right. This is a proven multi-platform developer, one of the best, and they're worth having in their stable. I don't think it necessarily means that those of us who have chosen to tie ourselves to a single platform, whether or not that platform is Sony's platform or not, matters. I think what matters is that we are Bungie fans, and until they make games that I don't want to play, I'll continue to be a Bungie fan. So that's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, that's fair. It would be interesting to see if what they were doing was not related to some of the games. Like, I think a lot of people would have said that if Sony were to use that to copy the party system and the matchmaking system that Bungie made for Halo 2, that was the template for everything that got done with Xbox Live, that would be an improvement on what Sony has now. I don't have personal experience with it, but I do hear plenty of complaints from people to the effect that that system doesn't work as well as Microsoft's. I know that for streamers it's a problem, because they're like, even a simple thing like you want the voice comm to go to one device and then a game audio to another, where you want them to have a separate stream. And on Xbox it's really easy. You just say, hey, send it to speakers, or send it only to headset. And people who have PlayStations are like, that's not a thing I can do. So but that's a minor thing. One thing I also remarked, and actually go ahead, Meg. Yep.
Well, I was just going to say there's something also that we should keep in mind. You were reading press about this thing. We have the history of Microsoft acquiring Bungie. And if you would go back then and read the PR, it was just as fawning, just as, you know, this is going to be a great thing, and we love doing this, and so on. So I guess what I'm trying to say, don't put too much stock in these, in what they write for the press, because we know later that there was friction between the two. We don't really know what was going on between Activision and Bungie, but we kind of get an idea that there was friction there. So there could be friction here too, and that's why I don't. But I think that's not relevant to what can come of this joining of forces here. And so, you know, to just, you know, to kind of go off that FAQ or whatever, that to me is just, that's just immediate, just to make fans happy and not make them go running, you know, to their Twitch streams and their Twitter feeds and go nuts. But I think there's much bigger plans, like what Claude is saying. I mean, those 10 games, that could just have been something that they said, listen, can we just write down that you're going to help us for the 10 games? And they're like, yeah, of course, sure. Yeah, you want us to console? No problem. And or it could have been a more like, yeah, we're going to come in and we're going to definitely, from the ground up, you know, make it as strong as possible so that you get to, you know, take advantage of all the stuff that we've learned over the last 20 years and make it as rock solid as possible for you. So, you know, I think a lot of this is just like what Claude was saying. We have to wait and see what actually is born from from this. My big takeaway is that it's just I love the table which is being set is really nice, and to me it shows a culmination of one gaming company and then a production manufacturing company, whatever you would want to call Sony, you know, like a behemoth, and how they both came to the table. To me, even, like, it wasn't Sony's up here and Bungie's down here. It was, they both came to the table with equal footing, I think. And it's an acquisition, but to me, it's really more of like a merging of two different skill sets, and I think things look rosy as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that was a point I wanted to make. Maybe call it a merger, because somebody should tell Bungie at some point that world domination would require you to start buying things rather than just being sold several times. It's, you know, you usually get the power by buying, but buying the thing. So if Bungie wants to consider this a merger, but I think we thought about that, you know, haha about Microsoft as well. You know, they're going to take it over from within, and they sort of did right. do that. I mean, they got pushed around on release dates a bit, but they got spun off as an independent basically by threatening to walk out, and that's not something that a lot of companies can manage. It was kind of amazing that they, became mm-hmm. independent at all again. And not only right. to do that, but then to get into a long-term deal with Activision and opt out of that deal. But that does bring up another question, which is they talk about like, well, like Datto said, they must know a lot about this. They, you know, they've been through this. They've been through Microsoft. They work with Activision. They know a lot about the business side now. But I think the thing that happened with Activision brings up that no matter what you've put down on paper and agreed with people, an acquisition is still an acquisition. They own your legal entity. And what you're able to get out of that relationship is what people are willing to do or what you're willing to litigate. You know, like, so for instance, obviously, Marty O'Donnell felt that the agreement was that Bungie would get to determine what music it used in promoting Destiny. And they made a complaint to Activision about that. And then Activision said, no, that's not how we read that. And the choices there are either go back to work or go to court over that document. And that was not the choice that Bungie went. So the litigation was not between Bungie and Activision. It was between Bungie and Marty O'Donnell. So if a Sony executive sometimes says, you know, I know what we agreed on and I know what's on the paper, but we would like Bungie to decide to make Destiny or any other game a Sony exclusive, it will probably be up to an employee of Bungie saying, no, that's not what's in our agreement. I don't care even you've instructed us to do that. But the, what happens next? It, you know, where is that employee working? What's the employment law where they are? What's he going to do if, you know, what is that person going to do if they get fired for refusing to do this? Are they going to be able to find somebody else who will take that order?
But now we're discussing speculation that has no basis in anything, really.
Yeah, I mean, you could play the what-if game forever, you know, and what if Angel sat on Pinheads? And basically, I guess the history that they've had of the acquisitions and the interactions, not only with Activision, but also with Microsoft directly, may be coloring our perceptions a little bit, or we're kind of anticipating potential problems. But it does make me wonder if and when what Sony's focus is, because, I mean, your focus determines your reality. And obviously, both of these companies have realized, or they're focused on making great games and making something profitable. Obviously, they think that, you know, Sony thinks that there is serious money in investing in what they can do, what they can bring to the table. And I think they're also looked at what their current environment is and what their focus has been. And they think that, okay, Destiny can give us something that we don't have, that we're not good at, or at least that we're not, you know, in the market as much as we'd like to be. So whatever that they're going to be bringing in the future in either upcoming titles, they got to think that there's money in it. And obviously big, big money if they're going to be pushing this much on the table. So I'm sure from, you know, their perspective, being worth that much or perceived that much is actually pretty a good thing. But yeah, if they've had conflicts in the past, like they've had with Microsoft and Activision, yeah, I'm curious as to what those will actually be like in the future, or what kind of conflict, you know, will take shape, and what that'll mean for the customers on their end. Because bottom line is, as gamers, it really comes down to what does it mean for us? Because, you know, big multi-billion dollar corporations doing what they need to do, you know, they all have their own interests and they're looking out for themselves. So as far as us as gamers and players, what is that going to mean for us as far as what we invest in, what we can play, what we can work with, or even who we can play with? You know, because again, if that whole exclusivity thing starts coming back. But I don't think it will either, because, you know, they suddenly realize that there are so many different markets out there. You're just shooting yourself in the foot as far as potential profits goes by being exclusive, by not offering it to that customer base that, you know, potentially could be going to you. So yeah, maybe that won't be an issue in the future, and you know, time always tells.
I think it matters more at the beginning of generations, and right, maybe generations are going away now. Like Microsoft's approach and even Sony's PlayStation approach now is these incremental upgrades, which is, you know, like the difference between the original Xbox and the 360, and the 360 and the Xbox One are all pretty stark. Major architectural differences, major effort needed to be put into backwards compatibility. But now it's like between Xbox One X and Xbox Series X, it's getting more gradated and even more confusing in terms of, well, what is the real power hierarchy between these devices, a balance between CPU and GPU, and people have the expectation that all games currently available will work on it. I can take 360 games and they're back compat. I can take Xbox One games and those will work. I can buy this kind of game and I'll even get a performance boost by playing it in this console. So maybe the idea that, like, you stake out a new generation where you're clearing the slate, and now you really need that new installed base, and you want an exclusive to drive that installation base, instead of just saying, no, there's just a big pool of machines. Some of them are PCs, some of them are different versions of several different consoles, and if you have a big popular game, just put it everywhere, and Sony will make some money. They'll make more money on if it's on PlayStation. They'll make some money if it's on even Steam or Xbox. Why say no to any of it? I mean, I think that also makes some sense.
Oh, and just want to say, Miguel, your son in chat wanted to say hi. So Armando was saying hi, Dad. Also, we should probably say hi to chat. Drummer Guy 89 in there. And also Question Deca. They had some questions in there as well that Narc talked about. Deca says, you wanted to go through.
Yeah, Deca says, I have an irrational hatred for all PlayStation systems despite loving the games and characters that are exclusive to it. Exclusivity is an excuse for denying customers. I mean, basically, I'm not happy about exclusivity either. I almost bought a PlayStation last generation, but I didn't. Maybe I will at some point. I don't know. I'm not, like, in principle opposed to it. Like, I certainly don't have the kind of resistance to it that I would have had when Bungie was sold to Microsoft, because that was portrayed as this, you know, this classic rivalry between Apple and Microsoft over desktop. And
right.
Bungie was positioned as that Mac developer against that, you know.
And you bought the Xbox.
Well, yeah. Thank you. That's the point I was going to make. Halo was the title that got you to get an Xbox. And you will
build the right games and you will come.
Yeah. I actually, believe it or not, the Xbox was not my first gaming console. I actually had a PS1 and I got it for Alien 3. You know, they had Alien Trilogy game out there, and I actually bought a PlayStation 1 for that one. So, yeah, so the question... Yeah, Jill's got a thumbs up. So the question
is, I did worse. I bought a Sega Saturn for that game.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Go ahead, Jill.
So,
I was just going to say, I bought a Sega Saturn for that game, the Alien Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Or you can get the Jaguar. They also had
a good snowboarding game. Sega Saturn is not a total loss.
Sorry, 400.
But, yeah... The question is this upcoming title going to be a console purchasing decision? You know, is it going to be a go-to title that you're going to want to get a console or to upgrade your current VID card to play? So, assuming
only if VID cards in the future. Only if they make it an exclusive. Only if they make it an exclusive.
Now, is it even about the games, though? Because the other thing that I see in here, again, if I pull up this statement at all... today, Bungie begins our journey to become a global multimedia entertainment company.
That's the other big
thing. I think we've heard Bungie doing a bunch of stuff, like weird non-gaming stuff over years, and I don't believe any of it. It never happens.
They're going to go cross-media. They're going to have some shows. They're going to have that kind of thing. Riot Games has a spin-off show from League of Legends on Netflix right now.
Arcane's doing wonderful, so you know everybody heard that.
Right. It's I haven't gotten all the way through it, but it's been good so far. I'm sure there's gonna be stuff like that. How many times
have we seen a Bungie non-game product outside of like books?
Paramount is launching their Halo
they just show. Had a trailer for the TV show, right? Yep. I mean that's coming out soon.
All of that stuff, like the first live action Halo crap, that Forward Under Dawn stuff, that was all 343. That's post Bungie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the Wingnut. There was the. They were starting to. They were like publishing mobile games. I think they did one. They did one game in the 90s. Like, it seems like they start this stuff and they never follow
through. Well, I think Bungie Aerospace was an initial foray into what they are probably about to do. Because if they're talking about we're going to consult on 10 games, well, I think Aerospace was an initial attempt at that. Get mobile developers to have a bunch of small games that you can, you know, that you can consult on them with. And I believe Harebrained Schemes still has a pretty tight relationship with Bungie, but if they're going to be sort of some kind of, you know, brain trust or skill trust, that they can, you know, rub their magic all over, you know, other titles in development. Why wouldn't Sony want to do that?
Yeah, maybe, obviously maybe one way of looking at this is that when there was the break between Bungie and then 343 took the personnel that were familiar with that side of things, right? They had Frankie, right. They eventually got Staten, they have, you know, all these folks who are on that side. So if you wanted to try to, this was one of the things that I was trying to think of, is that they saw it as their opportunity to come loaded into a company that has multimedia, and now they get to bring in folks who are going to become their Statons, their Frankies, their whatever, who are now going to become those folks that will move into those, you know, whether it's books, whether it's movies, whether it's music or whatever, and make that happen. So yeah, I think that was
likely going to be. Sorry.
No. I was just trying to think of anyone currently at Bungie right now. I'm not that familiar with the crew, but I don't know if there's someone who has that sort of, who's straddling those worlds. And I don't think that there is. I think right now it's basically artists and creators and engineers, and not folks who are like kind of looking at Hollywood and looking at publishing and so on. That could be wrong. And maybe there are those folks in there, but maybe this is what they're going to get out of it.
So you're saying Bice Chronicles couldn't, in fact, be a Netflix series? You know, I would love to see Netflix crank out some Destiny sometime soon. I would tune in for that. So they could do it.
Obviously, they certainly have enough lore.
Yeah, between Sony and Microsoft, you know,
we're not getting into the games.
Between Sony and Microsoft, obviously, you'd say that like that's something that Sony already has a track record in, whereas Microsoft, you know, was trying to break into gaming and consoles and then break into other kinds of media, and you know, haven't really gotten anywhere, especially even with Halo and 343. I don't know how healthy the rest of Sony's media is doing if what they're saying basically is that Sony would allow Bungie to make the Destiny version of a Spider-Man movie. I'm not sure how well that's gonna go, but it is interesting because the rumors that I was hearing, and I think that a lot of people read, was that like the transition from Halo to Destiny was the transition from making 2 hours worth of cutscenes in an engine with levels in between to like, okay, here's a map and some repeated activities, and let's not go crazy trying to kill ourselves trying to make a 2 to 3 hour sci-fi movie every time we make a game. And now it would be kind of weird if they went back in the other direction by partnering with Sony to do other kinds of multimedia.
I see what you're saying. Destiny's old.
Well, fair enough.
I was just mentioning that there's new IP.
I'm using Destiny as a model just because we don't know what the other thing is or anything about it, so it's hard to even make a reference. But
has anyone even gotten the title yet?
What's it called? Matter or something?
Well, they trademarked the Tencent thing. Oh, okay. But the two big things in my mind, to dovetail with some of what Mig's saying, is I think this is all about the IP that's after Destiny. We don't know, you know, they haven't released anything about that, but I would expect the overall focus for Bungie is going to move away from Destiny, and there's probably going to be some some equivalent of 343 for Bungie now. That's just going to be the Destiny team and Destiny moving forward, and the being the custodians of that that particular IP, because whatever the next thing is going to be is
going to be seasonal content,
kind of at the forefront of what they're doing.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you look at a company like Blizzard, right? They have the World of Warcraft guys, and then they also have whatever kind of other way that they scam people out of money guys, and then they've got the Diablo guys. So it's not that weird. If Bungie could become Blizzard, but good Blizzard, that would be really groovy.
Is there a good Blizzard? I mean, how is that possible?
I don't know. Blizzard 10 years ago, they're pretty cool.
Well, considering, I mean, when they bought Blizzard, what was it, like 19 times what they paid for, you know, Bungie right now? So, I mean, their value is massive in compared. So, yeah, the question is, do they think that Sony is getting it on the ground floor? Do they think that their success in the gaming space is going to be that significant? Especially if they can bring into an entertainment division, that they would be making some serious bank off of whatever is coming down the pike. But like you said, yeah, if they haven't even gotten any announcements yet as far as what it is, and like you said, I think they registered a couple names. What was it called? Matter or something. There's not a lot of information about what it is or what it potentially could be. Obviously, what they saw, what they liked, or like what they saw. But the question is, you know, is it going to be as good, if not better, than what we've had so far? Or is this, I mean, because you're only one mistake away from, you know, absolutely tanking everything that's come before it. So, I don't know. I mean, they've been working on it for how long? Does anybody know what the development time's been?
No. It's definitely been at least a year.
Okay, at least.
You have to look at when Barrett got shifted from Destiny to whatever. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much
longer before we even get to an alpha stage or even a hint stage? I mean, Bungie would leak things a year or two before they would come out. They would drip feed the little things to get you excited, but we haven't even gotten that yet. So
no, I think Bungie sits on things until they're happy with it. I think that's the way
how long have we been waiting for Pimps at Sea? Who knows when that's coming?
Yo.
Ever, you know?
Where are my bitches?
I mean, we didn't hear about Phoenix until it was already dead. So,
right,
yeah, they're really good at keeping quiet until they're ready.
So, how many more years of radio silence are we going to have?
So, this is the first time I've actually heard that Bungie was actually working on something new. Wise, where was the sources for that? If you don't mind me asking.
Well, there was a large infusion of cash from Tencent, and then people started digging into new copyrights and such, and found the name Matter, that kind of thing. There was nothing ever really announced by Bungie.
No, nothing. This has all been like, it was all research. People had to go seriously digging. Quick shout out for John Cimino in the chat. Hi, John.
Yep.
Also, Phil Mysterious isn't there. Narky's got something he was saying regarding Matter.
Well, I just did some Googling, so I'll pull this up. This is from
June 2021. That'll be the first Bungie game I don't play.
Suggesting that Matter might have been a hero shooter in the style of Overwatch. But again, this is purely speculation.
Speculative.
The trademark was made back in 2018. Never been officially acknowledged by Bungie. People are getting their information from job postings, which is very common in the industry to try and read those particular tea leaves.
Yeah, based on talent they're looking for.
My thing is that they're not going to develop. They're not going to put out anything that's going to directly compete with Destiny. So it means there's got to be some. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't think so, but I would imagine there's got to be some kind of fundamental difference then in the way, you know, in genre, presentation, whatever you want to call it. But I wonder what that is, because what's on the market now that's not Destiny that could be something that Bungie could make better, because that's always been their thing. They have not been in the business of completely innovating in terms of a genre or anything like that.
Revolution.
They've taken something that's been and then finished it. It's like, yes, that we've made this concept work now. and I don't know what that is.
Which is why I think of them as the Apple of game developers.
Right. So the question then comes, if they start going into the Valorant arena shooter to make the best one ever, is that something that any of you'd be interested in? Is that something that you would want to do?
I think those work. Unless they can figure out how to put a single player mode in
and
those.
For huge swaths of the gaming population, absolutely, they're immensely popular.
They work for the people who like
Bungie
them.
Fans,
I don't. So maybe they want to make one for me. But I also think that like Destiny was, I thought, the design that I exactly wanted, which was like, wow, man, Halo is awesome, but it's really a bummer to have to wait 3 years and just have only those things to play and to have no structure into which you replay them, where the only thing you can do is restart a campaign level and set some goals for yourself. And so they made a thing that has DLC every once in a while and has seasonal activities and is designed around co-op and is designed around repetition. But that also has some of its drawbacks. So I don't know. I'm not interested in Overwatch or Valorant or any of those things. But maybe if they made something like that, I would be, if it would be different somehow. But again, if I knew how that would be different and better, I'd be working there and not talking about them, I guess. But I don't. I have no idea.
But you're really positioning yourself as a regular the consumer. Right, you really are just saying I'm a regular the consumer that I'm not. I'm not going to buy something sight unseen. I'm going to wait until I see that it's. What am I going to plunk my $60 down for? And I think that's perfect. That's an okay position for all of us to be in.
$10 or $15.
Assuming it's going to be $60 by the time it comes out, which could be years.
Yeah, it's
going to
be seasonal
so passes.
It's going to be seasonal passes.
It'll be seasonal passes, and it'll be free to play.
$79.
I see you. Yeah, I know they're pushing for it, and I've also read the pushback on it, and
whatever it is, but it's I think, and also I just wanted to Mal was talking about cannibalizing Destiny. I think there's also history here. Where, unfortunately, I mean, I would love them to break this curse, but they have never been able to be successful at juggling two games or more than one game. True. So there's I don't know why we would even think that, could Destiny be fed off into 454 company, and let them take it over. And in the meantime, they get to play with their new thing. We also know historically Jason's gone after the second after one sequel. He's moved on to other things. He's no longer interested.
Brainstorm. Anybody seen him lately?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That was one of the things.
Which makes sense.
Has anybody seen anybody lately, Nark? I mean, there had been a pandemic for a couple of years.
Well, I didn't mean in person. not that many of us saw Jason regularly. I mean, the last time I saw some of you guys in person was, 2004? I mean,
yes.
In a movie theater.
So, it's interesting that you talked about that, Narc, about Jason and that one sequel and done, because we were talking about, what could they do, and a lot of us were talking about, Marathon sequel, Marathon reboot. Like, they're not going to allow that to happen. And because this buyout is definitely different than the Activision Blizzard one, because the first thing Microsoft did was showcase all those new IPs that are coming to Microsoft, and all the Sony had to show for was that weird Bungie logo I didn't even know was a thing.
I think that would just underscore what Meg's saying, that it's about the future. In other words, they can't advertise this as an acquisition of a stable of IPs when the most valuable IP in that bucket has not yet been announced.
Hasn't been released.
So they can't say anything. Yeah. They just say, we know that Bungie is a company that makes great worlds, and you can see the evidence of that in their portfolio. But if the biggest part of that is the thing they haven't done yet, then they can't. Then they're not going to talk about it. I do think if you're talking about Marathon, that's going to happen if this acquisition is permanent, which I think is something you can't even guess at, given Bungie's weird, strange corporate history.
So remarkable.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Getting bought and then doing one of those death contracts with a publisher and then coming out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But It would happen later when the, when Jason Jones is retired and there's nobody at Bungie to say we're not doing that because Jason hated sequels and hated reboots and remakes. You know, at some point somebody will think, oh, I found in this drawer a notice about this IP we own called Marathon, and it was popular back in the day on the Mac, and let's remake that. I mean, you know, it'll be after those people. But I hardly think that if Jason had anything to say about it, there wouldn't be any. They've done almost nothing in the ways of reboots, remakes, reissues. I think the only thing was, what, the port of Marathon to Xbox Live Arcade, and that's been pretty much it.
Right.
Well, that was not titles, right? That very sexy.
That was somebody else developed it. That.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's
and
just
did a very good job.
I don't think it's just IPs. I think it's the communities and the long term play base, because I think they're looking at the track record of what's come out of the company, where Halo, I mean, people have been playing Halo 20 years. I mean, 2001's when it came out. You know, people are still playing Halo titles, and Destiny has been running around since, what, 2013, 2014? They've been out there for years as well. I think they're looking and seeing
right.
the communities and the fan bases.
Without a franchise, have been Oni.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. So, I mean, they've made title that people have been playing for, you know, decades. That's kind of a big thing, and I think that Sony wants to have that in their stable. I think they really do. I think they want to develop something that people are going to long-term want to play and will be playing and going to them for it for years to come. So
is that another shooter? Or are they going to do something that's not a shooter?
See, that's the thing. Nobody
I want a
knows.
Sports game.
And that's what makes me worried.
I want a Bungie sports game.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
No.
NFT-focused?
Could you imagine how fun it would be to, like, hit the, exactly. hit the ball?
I think if it's... I hope that it's not another shooter. I hope that it's something different. But if, you know, that's what they're best known for, you know.
Funk, there are already enough ball mechanics in Destiny as it is. I mean, Destiny is practically
and
basketball
it's
already.
Throwing the ball.
He wants Griffball
jumping,
to be its own title.
Loser the best and punching people. Like, Destiny has the best punch in any video game. And Destiny has, like, the best jumping in any video game. And they've probably got the best balls. So I think that
Big
we're
T-Bag
pointing
fan.
One direction, sports of some kind.
Oh, no.
Hard to imagine, honestly. He's not totally insane, because they have been incorporating
yes,
the basketball mechanics for many, many titles. So when you think about all the stuff that they put in with Destiny and with Halo, where they were adding in those throwing ball mechanics, that is not too far of a stretch. So, not to mention grip ball's popularity.
They're going
to
reboot Ball Blazer. That would be the thing.
Exactly. Not Ganop?
Oh my God, man. Blackstar, forget about grip ball. Of course.
See?
Look, they've basically done it.
Yeah. I'm trying to forget grip ball.
I actually didn't like it that much, but still. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, those are all great ideas. I mean, you know, there's lots to think about in terms of going beyond, but the thing is, what is it that keeps the head folks in there interested? And they seem to be centered around sci-fi, fantasy, shooters, you know, strategy. And I know we tend to talk in terms of Marathon, Myth, Oni, but it doesn't have to be Marathon, Myth, Oni. It could be like Marathon, Myth, or Oni. So Oni was something that was, I think ahead of its time. And if anything, that's a particular genre or merging of, because that was both the shooter and the fighter, that could maybe handle like a revisit, you know, especially with all of the physics that we have available now.
I can totally see that.
Yeah, something like a Souls-like, not to use that, I didn't want to use that word exactly, but I mean something with deeper melee mechanics, like Oni had, which was the mixture of gunplay and melee. And there's melee play in Destiny, but a lot of it is just variations on magical powers, right? Punches that do extra stuff. It's not as deep a mechanic as, say, fighting with melee weapons in something like Dark Souls or Bloodborne. Something like that might be interesting. I always wondered... kind of when they when they reinforced when they did Destiny and also about Halo that we are an action game studio, and how they tried to deny for the longest time that that it was an MMO, that basically say we're a shared world shooter. Mechanically, the game is a shooter. Yes, there is kind of a tech tree here, and there are upgrades, but it's really light on that side of things. But I do kind of wonder, what is it that stops them at their size from doing an RPG if they wanted to do an actual RPG? Why don't they want to do an RPG?
I think they could if they if that was what was interesting them. Yeah,
and you know what? This kind of goes back to what Mal was saying. How many we've had a lot of like shooting RPGs where the shooting is fun, or the RPG is fun, like Fallout or whatever, where the shooting blows, and or Destiny where the shooting's good but the RPG is really limited. That might be something where they could finally. That would be the thing that they could put together finally.
You think they finally fixed the formula of marrying those two together into one package that cohesively works?
Yeah, it could be.
Unpopular opinion, I thought Cyberpunk 2077 did a great job in both areas.
Just not technically.
Well, let's move on from that.
What about their multiplayer, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was Oni's downfall, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But would not be a problem today. I mean, they were just pushing the technology in so many areas, right? I mean, like having the weird level designs based on actual architectures, which means they were huge and unwieldy, but also kind of strange to play through. And also, you know, nobody had LANs for playing. You would have needed a LAN to play it, and nobody had one. It was just too early. That was all that it was. It was just too early.
Yeah.
Well, it was also the thing that I was saying. They could not manage splitting themselves up. You know, Jason had to go down to over to Bungie West to try to, rescue things.
But the genesis of that whole project were just so weird. You know, that's another weird chapter of Bungie's history. Like, normally studios that develop multiple locations to handle multiple titles don't come about in the manner in which Oni came about, where an entirely outside group of people you barely know come propose to you a title, and you say, "You are now Bungie West. Go!" I mean, that just doesn't happen. And it's good for that it happened to Bungie, because they got they got Chris Butcher out of it. I mean, that may be the lasting legacy of Oni's effect on Bungie's future is they brought in Chris Butcher.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm thinking, you know, of course that's like what, 20 years ago now, 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of things have changed. It's just one of those things that it's historically.
Almost 25 that's years ago now.
25 years. Yeah.
Wow.
PS, the PS1, right, is what it launched on.
Yep. Yep.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, it was on the PS2.
No,
I know because I got it.
PS2.
Okay.
PS2.
It was very early. It was one of the first games. But
I played it on the Mac.
It launched in 99, but it started, you know, a couple of years before that. So
Okay.
It was Marathon. That was on some weird console, right?
Yeah. Okay. Pippin. Well, that leads me into this point. We've been playing Bungie stuff since 99 or earlier. Are we even the market anymore? You know, because when I look around this room at the grizzled ancients that are all coalesced here today, I mean, I'm the same age Claude was when he started doing the HBO stuff back in 2001, right? So yeah,
there's people in the studio that have been through like all of Destiny's development and release, and they are, you know, like they could have been, you know, whatever, 20 years old at that time, and over the last 7 years, like, they've built an entire career just in one game. It's it's impressive. It's impressive when you see sometimes they answer questions like, you know, what was your first interaction with Bungie? And they're like, yeah, I grew up on, you know, Halo 2 and Halo 3. Like, they weren't even there for the first Halo in certain cases. Yeah. Like, it's been quite a long time.
Oh, please. There are generations of gamers I talk to now where their first reiteration of anything was Halo 3. You know, they literally came in at the end. They've never even played or even known about the originals. But the question I have is that for whatever they're going to come up with in the future, and we're hoping it's the near future, is that something that is going to appeal to us? Or are they even looking for, you know, for what we've been? I mean, their long-term gamer base, if you will. Are we even the market anymore? Are they going to be aiming for, you know, a different age group or a different gamer class that is interested in either different titles or different gameplay than what we grew up on?
Millennials don't buy consoles because they spend too much of their money on avocado toast. So I still think older gamers have a place in the market.
I've never bought.
Well, no, you're avocado. That's.
But have you ever made toast?
You don't want to support them.
I have made toast, and I have been given avocados and put avocados on toast.
So, in other words, there is a chance.
Yeah. It's possible. Yes. One day. But I think that, you know, it's, you know, gaming is, people talk about this crap all the time, but gaming's supposed to be this teenage boy thing. I think that Destiny skews older. And I think it's proven that there is now a relatively mature fan base who can support an MMO thing. So if you, and the only way I know this is if you look at those YouTubists and you look at the games that are popular.
YouTubists.
There are very few Destiny YouTubists who are doing the young people thing. They're pretty straightforward and boring like we are. And then you look at some of these other very popular games like the Overwatch. And I don't even know if that's popular anymore. But whatever the other popular games are.
Overwatch is
they're like all
what the young whippersnackers are playing these days.
They're skewing young. And so I think I don't expect Bungie to come out with Five Nights at Freddy's whatever. Or what, I don't know what they. I genuinely don't know. I don't expect them to come out with
kids playing these
with
days.
A 15-year-old
fire up
game.
Steam.
I expect them to come up popular. Come out with a game that we like. I think we're still their market.
Didn't Overwatch kill itself by splitting itself by coming out with an Overwatch 2 instead of just expanding itself? I thought I remembered something of that.
It's gotten so bad, even LEGO has delayed in their set Overwatch 2 sets indefinitely.
Oh well. I didn't know there was Lego Fallout from Overwatch.
Wow.
There you go.
I mean, that's serious. Mega Bloks have never done that to Halo.
The most popular number, here's the funny thing, the most popular numbers on Steam right now are like Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, Dota 2, Apex Legends, PUBG, Yu-Gi-Oh!
PUBG
Master
is now
Duel,
free to play.
Yeah, Rust, Team Fortress 2, Grand Theft Auto 5, and just getting in, squeaking at the bottom, Destiny 2.
Those are all old guy
games.
These
are all free to play. These are all free to play shooters, though. For the most part.
So,
the
statistics kind of lean that this is going to be that.
I think Destiny is going to, for however much longer Destiny is in development and is supported. That I think that this is going to be. Like we are the market clearly, but as far as future IPs, I think there's every chance that they may, that it may not be a shooter that's aimed at our market. I think that if one can truly draw a thread between from Pathways into Darkness all the way through Destiny, I don't think. Well, I mean, I think that there's every chance that the new IP falls outside of that continuity.
Right. Because, How far along are we in the Destiny roadmap? Wasn't it leaked that it was meant to be a 10-year?
The current Light versus Dark Saga is supposed to have two more major expansions after the current one, Witch Queen, and they are named Lightfall and The Final Shape. But my also understanding is that they do have an intention for Destiny to continue after that, but I don't think anybody knows what that means, what it looks like, what its relationship to the current title is. But I think the idea is that any of the plot threads, questions, characters, and themes that have been brought up so far in terms of light, dark, and these particular factions that we've been dealing with is going to come to some resolution in the final shape, and that whatever comes after that will be some new thing of some sort.
So if there's about 2 years left, let's say, give or take, that could dovetail very well with whatever is coming up now, you know.
So their focus will shift from to
the next 10-year venture that sense. As I think Mal and others have been saying, could then be this multimedia. I mean, again, looking back at history, 343 was able to show that they could do take Halo to Halo Wars, which was not a shooter. And maybe that's another hint as to what Bungie learned seeing that. And they could then have, you know, shooter, scroller, books, you know, whatever, a couple of different things, miniseries, you know, and that could be maybe what they're ramping up for. Which, as Claude said early on, it was all just speculation. But like I said, it's like the table's being set, and I like what the possibilities are looking really good.
Okay. On that note, why don't we take a short break for 15 minutes, everybody, to go get a drink, take a bio break if they need it, and then we'll come back with more discussion of the Sony Bungie merger when we come back.
Bye, Mig.
Mig is already off. That guy's already pissing.
All right, I turned off the gator.
Okay, we're back after our break. We're going to talk some more about Sony and Bungie. I was kind of interested in talking about whether some of this was maybe avoiding the relationship with Microsoft, because Microsoft is, if they're hunting for acquisitions, like lots of companies are hunting for acquisitions now, you know, they're talking about inflation's going up, these companies are sitting on big piles of cash, they want to invest in things that are going to make them money. That's what they think Sony is doing with this, that Sony can invest money into Bungie and they can grow even more and make new and bigger projects. But was there any chance that is Bungie not doing well enough by itself? I mean, it kind of looked like we were on a good progression where, you know, it really seemed like post Myth 2 recall, they might have been struggling financially, or at the very least that, like, whatever game they would have made that would have been Halo independently in 2001 is not the game that we got for the Xbox. It would have been something different than that. But then they built Halo into this huge franchise, and they spun themselves off independently, and they went to work with Activision, and then they cut themselves off from it as well, and they set up a model that brings in lots of money directly to them, you know, season passes, DLC, and all that kind of stuff. Was that not enough? They can do movies and TV with Sony, and they have expertise in that they maybe couldn't do effectively by themselves. But was this a survival thing? Or, you know, did they sell out to Sony because if not, Microsoft was going to come along and make another offer? Would Microsoft have tried to do that? I mean, they were a shareholder already, although I think a very minority one.
Once bitten, twice shy. I mean, who else would have been even marketable to if not Sony? I mean, if the idea is that they were thinking of farming themselves out, like, well, how many potential buyers are there?
I don't know why they... I don't know. I have nothing to add. Never mind.
And that's assuming that they even needed or wanted to. I don't know. That's speculation, I would think. I mean, unless you have some other information that...
But I just wonder, because even in this announcement, they talk about independence. Like, independence is the heart of what Bungie is. And it seems like every time one of these things comes up, they push that angle. That they get to choose what games they make. They choose to get what platforms they're at. But it seemed like they kind of were this rare thing that barely exists anymore, which is a major AAA self-publishing independent developer that got to make all those choices. And they have a headcount is over 1,000 now. They're going overseas. They're doing other things. What was it about their current structure or situation that wasn't conducive to doing what they want to do that will be once they have Sony money?
I
think Mig was right. You know, there is a certain level of that is, you know, it's marketing, it's lawyer speak, it's you know, public perception that they don't want to rock the boat as far as the fan base and the customers out there. But you know, there's always going to be butt heading against, you know, creativity and the money making aspect. You know, there's a reason that it's called a business model because it's a business. You know, I mean, they know that they need to sell units. They need to get a product that's out that, that sells well. And there's always going to be a creative tug and war between, you know, what they would like to do or what they can do versus what they need to and what they have to. So, yeah, I mean, as far as that goes, it's really just a question of you know, because if you look at the history of what they had with Microsoft and what they had with Activision, there were plenty of times that came up later that we found out that there was always a creative tug and war between controlling of what they wanted to do and what Bungie wanted to do or what they were capable to do with the time allotted. So the question now is that, you know, if the marketing is true, are they going to get something that they couldn't get before with Microsoft and with Activision before? Or is it just, again, marketing to make everyone happy and eventually they're going to be butting heads? We just may not hear about it until after the fact.
One of the differences that seems to be the case between this time and the last two times is the rank and file learned about this the same time we did. That was not true during the Microsoft buyout, and it was not true during the Activision influx. So does that say anything about who's involved? And I don't know what it says. I just know it's different.
That may have been a requirement from Sony's side. Because again, a lot of people's first instinct was like, oh, okay, well, this is a response to Microsoft buying first Bethesda and then Activision Blizzard. And other people say that, no, these deals take far longer than that to come to fruition. They didn't sometimes start working on this deal, you know, before then. But even then, they could be reacting to rumors that we don't hear yet. So it's not that Sony went out looking for Bungie because they saw that Microsoft bought Activision, but that they heard a rumor that that was happening weeks or months ago, and so they started looking for acquisition targets and started talking to Bungie at that time. Because I think the secrecy benefits Sony more than it does Bungie, I think.
Yeah, it does. It's the Bungie's been making particular moves for some time. I mean, they opened up their office in what, Amsterdam, Netherlands, yep, somewhere. And it's not, I don't think that that's just for localization. I don't think that's just, you know, like there's a huge market of smaller developers, and if they want to essentially diversify their efforts into consulting on many smaller games, that would be a prime place to have an office set up. I think this is not a reactionary thing, as you're saying. I think this is certainly part of a bigger plan for them to grow in ways that are, I think, as we've all said here a couple times now, outside of the norm for them. It's not just bigger, it's wider.
And I think the as Claude pointed out, that nobody knew this before this was going to happen. I believe that like it was literally the last day they could have kept it secret, because although Bungie was now privately, you know, closely held, Sony is publicly traded. They had to make SEC filings. So in other words, this was the last day they could tell anybody this before they would have found out about it anyway. They absolutely kept that completely quiet. And why? And it seems like it's an acquisition war. But that may mean that they don't have Bungie's best interest at heart. It's basically just about they're snapping up studios because they're going on a buying spree, because inflation, and because anything you want to buy now is going to be cheaper than if you waited another year to do it.
Have they bought anybody else?
Sony? I don't know, but there are only so many out there. I guess the next biggest acquisition target would be what, Ubisoft.
Party developers.
There was a time loop game involving a female astronaut. Yeah, they purchased that studio.
Oh, Returnal. Yeah, the studio that made Returnal.
Yes, the Returnal guys. Yeah, they've made that buy. I'll say something else. Working for a Fortune 500 company, they seem to think that everything is like secret agent stuff. This is all like super secret. We can't let anybody know about this. And you know, a big acquisition that is kind of secret. But a lot of times they want to keep everything really, really low key until it's time to announce it to the stockholders. So I don't know if we can say that this super secret business is super secret because there's some kind of nefarious purpose, or if they're just trying to be, they're just like secret. Or,
but Microsoft also seen, was public in 2001, and Activision was public in 2011. So neither of those are, it's different. And I don't know why it's different, but it's different.
Yeah, no, it is different. And yeah, as Claude points out, like the Activision deal was a publishing deal, and we know most of what we know about the details of that deal because of litigation involving other studios that Activision was in. Not because they wanted that information public. But if they had been an acquisition, then they would have had to do, 10K filings with the SEC, and that shareholding would have shown up. They would have had to do that. But it's not just public companies that do that. Even tiny companies that are engaged in other kind of stuff. I honestly think there were some years where the single one act for work that I did more often than any other was to prepare and sign an NDA, to say an NDA about this financing deal for that, about this potential offer for purchasing this. NDA is covering not only everything in discussion about this meeting, but also the existence of the NDA is also covered by the NDA.
And here you are talking about it.
Yeah, I know. They can chase me. I don't think they watch Twitch. We'll hope.
We're also on
I'm looking at an article on The Verge, which here I'll pop up. Bungie acquisition is all about Fortnite. And virtual worlds. It's talking that Destiny is number 6 on the activity list for PlayStation. And the list also includes Call of Duty and Fortnite. Revenue from live service games.
Maybe.
I mean, it is recurring revenue. I mean, there is that, and that's true. Even if it's not an exclusive, I hope they're not. I hope this is not a metaverse play. That would be disappointing.
Well, it could go back to this consulting business. If they're Bungie has figured out how to make a game successful where so many other games have failed. And we seem to talk about all this, live service games, and that's controlling the market, but forget about the failures. Everyone brings up Anthem, which was supposed to be Destiny, but not. So maybe it's there to buy into a success, I guess. And
it was supposed to be a BioWare game, and it was not.
Wait, Anthem wasn't a BioWare game? I thought it was.
It was. They just said that this is going to have all the great things you love about BioWare, except everything that we liked about BioWare.
Oh, well, okay. So maybe it's... Maybe,
I don't hear
maybe they're right.
Hold on a second.
Black Star.
Yeah, neither do I.
That's all right. No great loss. I'll be Black Star. Have you guys seen the new Quentin Tarantino movie? I don't even know if he likes that.
It just came out or what?
No, Tarantino? I don't
know. There is no new Quentin Tarantino.
Oh,
movie.
Okay.
That's all.
Maybe it's like OnlyFans or something.
No, I got nothing.
He did try to sell some of his scripts as NFTs, though.
You know what? That's okay.
Great.
It's stupid. But
it's not okay because he doesn't own the scripts.
But does he own the JPEG of the scripts that he's selling? Like, if he screenshotted the scripts, and then he owns that photo, and then he can sell that, right?
Blockchains can't contain JPEGs, though. They're too big.
Really?
No. Maybe a last question. So if this is all about the next big game and not about Destiny... What would we want if you had a wish list? Like, what would you want Bungie to do? What could Bungie do with Sony money that they can't do with their own that you'd want them to do?
A romance sim.
I think the perfect formula is a grid, a 5x5, and you have to determine the English word. and it's not Coral.
They get sued by the New York Times. It's too late already.
Oh, someone's already made that?
That's not worth $3.6
billion. No, how much is it worth? Do we know how much the New York Times paid?
It was seven figures. With a seven figure buyout.
$1,001,000.
What things, what are the limitations on gaming today that the current
offering
could be refined into?
Right. So can we maybe segue into something that it will not be? And can we segue into VR has failed? Or has VR still does VR still have a possibility? Or maybe I should be calling AR instead of VR.
Why was Luke Smith Jones in that interview?
Could still be successful.
I think if we're going to complain about VR, I feel we ought to have Bowl in here to take the other side.
Yes,
that's true.
Hey,
or Cyrus. I don't want to complain about it. I
got VR experience.
Just, I don't know what,
Well, there you go.
I don't know that it's failed. I just think it hasn't really achieved a critical mass yet as a, you know, as a mainstream technology. So a lot of people aren't targeting. It's a niche thing. Doesn't make it bad or good. Will it become mainstream? And if so, how long will that take? And what will it look like when it finally does? I don't know. I'm seeing rumors again about like Apple's going to do some big product announcement no one's expecting this year, and everybody's speculating that it would be Apple Glass, you know, it will be some kind of a VR or AR headset or device, maybe, who knows.
But I mean, yeah, but that could be more of that could be more consumer and not maybe necessarily games. That's all I was trying to think of, because you know, Mal's bringing up a good point. Like if we understand Bungie to be, again, these evolutionists that take what's around them and improve on them. And you would think, well, VR was a thing 5 years ago or whatever. And now it's kind of seems like it's not really being focused on. A shame.
It'd be tough for them to top Half-Life Alyx, which... Yeah.
Mm. Nobody's topped Half-Life Alyx.
It's pretty good.
No one I can attest to that.
You suck some helium, Blackstar?
Only in my dreams.
Yeah, Blackstar, you're getting... Yes, your pitch F shifted again. That problem has come back.
Well, no, I tried resetting it to a different kilohertz thing to try and
fix
it.
You're Miss Piggy.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's not Miss Piggy. It's awesome.
I'll have to reset it again.
This is a good problem.
But yeah,
it's a good problem.
Really slowly.
Talk really slowly. Well, no, as far as the VR stuff, yeah, the price point accessibility, which I mentioned in chat, is just too high, along with my voice. So yeah.
I don't think I can do anything about that either.
I'll reset it again.
Okay,
but
fine,
I thought it'd be funny.
The thing about VR is that it was a similar the scenario in that it was like, yes, it's a struggling, expensive, whatever, but if you make the right game, that should be what brings folks over. Nothing ever did. Folks really thought that it was going to have that. And so is that something that maybe Bungie's going to, if we're talking about the surprises, that would surprise me.
That's a thing that I think job openings would show, though.
With Golem.
Like I don't think they
can. How is the SPR selling?
How's what?
I don't know. Probably shit.
How is the SPR selling? Because that was, if they were going to go that way, if that's the thing that they're going to do.
Yeah, I always thought, it had to be something that ships by default with a console. If you make it an option like the Kinect or the Move, it won't work because too many people will just opt to save $100 or $200 by not getting it. It's got to be a default thing. So when it's made well enough and cheaply enough that it's just the standard output method for a console, then it's a market.
Okay, get ready to get your minds blown. 3.6 billion to Bungie, because they're the only ones, they promise Sony that they can rope Jamie and Marty back to do a VR game that they can put in the PS6.
And now you're just trolling Marty, and I felt like that was our thing. You know, I mean, I thought that was our job.
Well, that was your thing.
Those two would love to know that they were worth $3.6 billion. And I think at least one of them Bungie is.
Yeah. Bungie's getting that to hire the right people to deal with, to convince Jamie and Marty. And who's the third person? I'm trying to remember now. The three or four.
Over at Highwire?
Yeah. Who were Bungie folks. Anyway, but I don't know. So beyond VR,
tone at some of the things, but he wasn't. Oh. I don't think he worked for them,
right? But yeah, so beyond VR, what like what Mal's saying, what could they do? what could they redo? And I you know, I'm unfortunately I'm like a broken record. I guess it would be to revisit something.
Oh,
like,
I guess he was. Like never mind, I'm wrong.
He was.
Yeah, design lead.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. My bad. It would be the either like a fantasy shooter or
they can't. They're still too busy on 6 days. 6 days in Fallujah.
Right.
6 days in Fallujah.
Or they'll bring back the trebuchet.
Oh yeah, Jail, you hadn't heard about that?
No.
I forget what studio did it, but like a bunch of years ago there was someone who came out with the idea that they were going to make a Call of Duty style shooter, you know, set in Iraq. And there was so much pushback against the idea that, look, that's kind of trivializing some very recent events, that, you know, kind of don't do that. And Highwire, the guys who did Golem, have picked up that property and announced that that's their next project. They tried to make statements to the idea that it was going to include the Iraqi perspective, and then they were asked in detail about that, and it turned out literally they were saying that, like, we don't think anybody cares about that. And they got dragged for that.
Frankly, that's probably better than them trying to include it, because that would
There's nothing that indicates they would have the capability of doing that effectively in any way, shape, or form. I agree with that.
What was the motive for picking Iraq? Why not come up with
if you're going to make a military shooter and you're not going to innovate on gameplay, then you can innovate on setting. You can say, well, you've played World War II games, you've played, you know, Black Ops, you've played modern stuff. What hasn't anybody done? Well, you know, has nobody done this? And tying it to very specific real world events in specific places in specific times.
Just makes them out to be a target. Zero Dark. It sounds like there's nothing but negatives on the end of that.
I forgot what game it was for, but when Zero Dark Thirty came out on Blu-ray, they actually included a code for the map to Saddam Hussein, Bin Laden's compound.
Stuff like that just puts a bad taste in so many people's mouths.
So I think sports game I think would be really fun, and I know none of you guys would like it. But there's a
what
lot
sport
of
though?
Plus Griff Ball.
What sport would they make? Would they make a game about a real sport, or would it have to be a fictional sport?
I just got a bulletin.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Go ahead, Mike.
From a source that I will not name, but deep within the bowels of Bungie.
It was KP, wasn't it?
Go read the interview with Jim Ryan on GameInformer.biz. He lays it all out there. He was very straightforward about it. So
let's fire it up, ladies and germs.
I think all that is the
put it on screen.
I think that is something. You heard it here first. We all probably read that. That came out, I think, yesterday or the day before, or whatever.
Yep, I see it.
Came out very soon.
A non-exclusive for your entertainment. Is my mic any good now?
Yeah,
I can't tell.
Sony buys Bungie. What is the studio's future beyond Destiny?
I did read this.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, I did read this. That's interesting. It says this is laid out and really straightforward, because I thought it was kind of it seemed kind of
vague.
PR-y. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, all the early statements are going to be that. You know, I mean, they've all been watched through lawyers so many times. They don't want to set themselves up for problems this early on.
Yeah, makes sense.
He says not a lot of hidden motives, but he says he does say, or she, that the new IPs are very strong.
Okay.
Mm.
Good to know. Strong IP.
Well, when I'm thinking about sports games and creating a new sport game, Splatoon comes to mind, and that's Nintendo.
No, sports game would be a horrible idea. They should never do that. No, are you insane?
Claude, I think we know now it's going to be a sports game.
It's a very strong IP just mean that it's a spin-off Destiny game?
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll end up being closer.
The secret source says it's vague and it's correct. So maybe they don't really know, other than this kind of this new IP thing. And
I wonder if it'll end up being closer to Destiny or what Destiny is than it's been before. Like the shift from Marathon to Halo was pretty big, right? It was from sci-fi to fantasy. It was from first person to third person. It was from action to strategy. And then Oni was also completely its own thing with its own gameplay, kind of also genre busting. It seems like they were busting genre conventions. It's a shooter, but you only have two guns. It's a strategy game, but there's no building. It's purely tactical. No resource management.
No lumber, no iron, no gold.
Yeah. And
thank you.
Destiny's evolved into a bunch of different things, but it's closer to Halo than any other thing they ever did. So I do kind of wonder if expecting them to bust out something completely new that we've never seen isn't that realistic. That it isn't money that lets you do that. It's a willingness to just make something that is that different, which is inherently risky, and maybe wanting to do that works against having a lot of money invested in you, unless the two things are tied together. Like obviously VR still requires a lot more investment to become the best platform it can be. But unfortunately, I think a lot of that is still on the hardware side. It's making something that's light, powerful, and comfortable enough that people can wear it. Not to mention, you know, motion sickness problems and stuff like that.
It doesn't completely take you out of the world, so you don't like break the vase on the side table next to you.
Yep.
Right.
It makes sense. You know, forgetting about the VR stuff, like the Sony's not going to blow $3.6 billion on something risky. If Bungie were trying to reinvent the wheel here on something or do something a little weird, they're not going to want to sink that kind of money in it, maybe. So this might be a safe bet.
Sony Pictures does it.
Are you saying yes Destiny do. Spinoff game?
Is a Destiny 2 clone in another setting really that risky, though? And would we get be like that? I mean, like, the shift to a hero-based shooter with more strict classes, right? Where you pick a character, and it's not like you have complete control of everything, but you pick to play a role, like Overwatch, like these other games. That's not that big of a stretch from Destiny.
It's a great.
Let's also not ignore like Last of Us, or those types of. I would love to see Bungie try their hand at something like that. You know,
oh
the cinematic.
God, so not, amazing.
That's not community based,
they,
though, right?
They
that's,
got
that's
it's not right. And it's not really a live game, is it?
No, but it's a big seller.
Well, it has multiplayer, but I think it's like, really weird that it does, given the kind of game it is.
I understand.
Don't they already have a game like that, though, for Horizon Zero Dawn? I mean, it's not as dark as... I mean, doesn't Sony already have a title, Horizon Zero Dawn, that's like The Last of Us?
Guerrilla Games is in their stable, just like Naughty Dog.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to Mad Max, who did Ellie's AI.
To me, so if we are talking... So I know we were talking before what kind of gamers we are. I'm, you know, my time is limited, and I do tend to favor solo campaigns. So you and Rich, that I mean, I'm there for those kind of games. So I would definitely, you know, be into that if they did something like that. I mean, that has been classically one of the problems with their games, is that they create these great games and then the lore becomes kind of a problem to shoehorn in. And here is a way to just simply make it all lore. You know, you're just kind of following along on a story, and but surrounded with all the brilliance of Bungie physics and engine and whatever.
I think another YouTuber I watch was talking about a different franchise, but made a suggestion that more games could do with following the model of GTA 5, which is that you make a single player game in the traditional manner and you release it first. And you have a multiplayer mode, but you literally release that afterwards. You kind of, I don't know that GTA Online is gated, but there's the expectation that you will have one understanding of the property if you play through the single player and then you do the multi, yes, rather than the other way around. And Bungie seems recently to have kind of gone the other way around, where they're doing multiplayer beta tests before the single player is even out. And then Destiny is this weird hybrid where it almost can't even seem to decide what it really is regarding the content. There are some, like the first level of DLCs are sometimes strictly solo where you can't play with anybody else, but everything else is either allows or is expected you to have, you know, 2 to 6 other players.
Well, that brings up a question I was going to ask. Out of all the people that are here right now, how many have been keeping up with Destiny and are still, say, remotely current? That's been literally been playing straight through up until recently. Okay, so Matt,
I would say that I'm remotely current.
Well, see, you kind of pick it up periodically. You kind of like hop, skip, and jump over expansions and updates. But yeah, it's just something that I haven't been doing very much of late. I kind of fell out up until, I want to say, a couple of years ago. But trying to get back into it is like next to impossible because of what all the changes and all the variations that they've done. It's not very accessible for casual. If you're stuck with it and you're on the train that they're taking you on, it's fine. But once you get off that train, trying to get back on is, you know, near on impossible.
Well, so I just jumped back in after 2 years, and okay. I'll just give you a quick summary of my experience. I boot up the game, I get my crossplay set up, and I'm like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, I'm staring I'm hearing a horse whinny, and I'm looking at some weird polygons, and I'm like, something must have crashed in here. Maybe I got a copy Mine of was Dullum very similar. Beta or something. And I don't know, it just was very disjointed. But then I got into it, and I fell right back in. It was no problem. Actually, what brought me back was Halo. I played that campaign, which was, yeah. I played that, which was fun, and then I jumped. I said, well, now that I got the $1 trial for Xbox, whatever, the pass, through April, so at least I'm going to be playing through April. And then we'll see what happens beyond that. But I noticed that I screwed myself over because I waited too, like, I have all these things that are, I thought, oh, I'll wait until Queen launches and then I'll get the previous stuff for free. But that's not going to happen. It's like, it's all being, so all these things that I thought I could, that's all gone. So I still have, what's that shotgun? That's an ARC shotgun from, so it's like stuck in my heavies because I never finished the thing.
Oh,
so I
Acrius. Guess we've seen,
yeah, the Acrius shotgun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And how many raids ago was that relevant? So, you know, I mean, it just
right.
Being so out of it for all the changes and updates and the interactivities and how things work and the quests you have to do for whatever, I just find it terribly daunting. And it just makes me wonder if and when the new titles come out and the new IP hits the streets, how many are going to be so inclined to jump on board that train now? And if so, would you be, you know, just because of available time, unable to continue with the Destiny escapades? Is it something that you think investing what you want to do into both things is possible? Or would you feel like you're going to be stuck having to pick?
If you wait 4 years to jump in, you might have a problem. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. No, I'm saying is that if you've got only so much time during the day, are you going to be able to, you know, separate it for both children, or are you going to have to pick one?
Right, but that doesn't make it different than Halo, because you can pick up Halo at any time and have that first time player experience.
Halo is a different type of game. It's way simpler, you know? I mean,
yeah, there's no build.
When you look at Destiny and the interactivity of what goes in and around and behind it, with raids, with gearing, with leveling up, with all the interactivity between armor builds and the multiplayer, it's way more complicated than Halo. Halo, you can just pick up, run into, jump into a match, and jump out. And, you know, it's the same experience now as it was a year ago.
Yeah,
I think that raises a really important question about where they're going to want the investment of the player base to be. Because if somebody felt like you're saying, if somebody falls off of playing Destiny, it may take them a while to get back in. But if they make the game a little bit more casual friendly and they lock certain things down, just for example, like say Overwatch, the game never really changes. I mean, the meta will change a little bit as the mechanics are massaged over time a little bit, but you know, having to grind for a particular weapon, that sort of investment cycle, you know, if they go with something like that, then I can see people wanting to having to weigh between, well, do I keep playing Destiny or do I play this new thing, you know? Exactly. And if it's something that require build crafting and investment in that way, then maybe there will be an ability to.
Thank you. And the other question is
to do this, but I have to step out specifically to play Destiny.
He's got
to
do a raid.
Yeah. No, that's
it's really important that Claude does this raid because I get his loot because I'm in his clan.
Right. But it also brings up the question,
because you left our clan.
Are you going to go where your friends go?
That has two people.
Because a lot of these things, especially in Destiny, you can't raid by yourself. You need a team. So are you going to jump in where your friends are going to go? Or are your friends going to bail out of Destiny and go play this new game? Is that going to make you more inclined to do that? Or is he going to be like, no, I'm still going to be sticking with Destiny and I'm just going to have to find new people to raid with?
I'm going to worry about that in 2026.
Okay. Well, and that...
Don't forget to switch the plasma grenade.
Well, on that note, is there anybody wants to say anything final then before we call an end to the stream? Because I think 2 hours on the subject for now is probably enough. Maybe we'll do this again sometime. But
my parting words are: I'm still not going to respond to any interview requests from Cody Miller. I hope you all are enjoying yourselves and see you star side.
Oh man.
There you go.
Awesome.
Okay. Anybody else have some other last words or should we say good evening?
You think that if Sony, since Sony doesn't have a streaming service for television, you think it would be appropriate if they did a marathon series that would go to Apple TV?
Yeah.
Well, don't they have PlayStation?
You could ask.
Now? Well, it doesn't matter.
Oh my goodness.
No. I think they probably dropped themselves a rival of Apple.
But they could.
All right, well, Blackstar, take us out then. Right. I think we're done.
Well, I figured you'd want to. My mic's popping like crazy.
Oh.
But all right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We certainly hope you enjoyed the Rampancy.net playthrough of Sony's acquisition of Bungie for 3.6 billion glimmer. Please stay tuned for all of our other exciting adventures on our YouTube channel at Rampancy.net, and for all of our things that we do during the week randomly, check out our schedule at Rampancy.net/schedule. Until then, I am Blackstar, he is Jail, he is Nargajan, he is Claude, he is Miguel, he is Mail, and he is Funkmon. We are Rampancy, and we certainly hope to catch all of you next time. Thank you for watching.
Hi.
All right, now say it like Miss Piggy.